Nice. Okay. Paul, how about you? Do you see any silver linings in operating the way things are operating, or challenges that you weren't expecting to have to deal with doing things combination of Zoom and in-person and streaming and whatnot?
For me, it's just been amazing to think that I have friends and family members who live not only in other parts of the United States, but other places of the world who now have a chance to be able to tune in and actually watch what we're doing here on the Kenai Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And sure, there were ways to do that before, but now that's just opened up so much more. And so it's exciting to think that we can actually share what's going on through this very performance that we'll be doing this coming weekend with anyone really across the world who wants to tune in and support us and watch live theater. It's still live, you know, and that goes to the core of Kenai Performer's mission. Our mission, I think, is it's stated to promote, produce, and perform high quality live theater for the Central Kenai Peninsula. But now we can do that beyond the four corners of the Kenai Peninsula. We can do that with the world now. And so that's just, it's really exciting.
And the other nice thing about pre-recorded things is that you can pay more attention to the actual production value of mm-hmm. something. And so if something doesn't work, if you make a mistake in the performance, you could just record it over. And, you know, I mean, one of the fun things about Lame Ducks and Dark Horses or the Fish Parody Dinner Auction, some of the best lines that are ever said on stage are just said as an impromptu line that, you know, you just came up with in the process, or, you know, somebody heckling from the audience and the response to that. But on the flip side of that, you have a lot more control over the show when you are pre-recording it and doing it online. And that can be helpful. I thought that when we did Lame Ducks and Dark Horses this year, that because we could pre-record all the songs were honestly really of higher quality because of the sound quality that we could come up with and control inside a sound booth as opposed to a live event.
And to reintroduce our guests for anyone who might be joining us after the top of the hour, I'm Jenny Nyman. This is the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. We're talking theater this hour. We've got Joe Rizzo, Executive Director of Triumvirate Theater. And we've got Rebecca Gilman, who's on the Board of Directors for the Kenai Performers and is producing Murder in the Cathedral. And Paul Morin, who's directing that show, which is opening this weekend and continuing next weekend.
I will say another thing that the pandemic has given us is time to improve our actual building infrastructure, starting with probably like the Crucible is when we started, you know, doing the bigger plays over at our performance space on K Beach, which is where all three of these shows are going to be, and having, you know, these months where we weren't having, you know, show after show, or we weren't having rehearsals in there, made it so we were able to actually transform the space. We have Wi-Fi now. We have, you know, like Ooh. It's an actual black box theater. Well, yeah, we have to have some way to upload the live stream. You know, we were able to invest in like new lighting system. We just approved to get like a new sound system and stuff. So it's, when you have to take a pause with stuff, you're like, oh, okay, well, we can, you know, focus our time on some of these other things that don't always get all the love that they need because it's always the focus is on, you know, the show that's happening.
Yeah, Rebecca's absolutely right on that. You know, Triumvirate has done huge amounts of remodeling.
Yeah, you guys have been busy over there.
We've been busy over there. You know, we got the addition, the backstage addition, that 800 square foot building all sided. We were able to completely redo the floor in the lobby. We pulled the carpet out of there. We put a vinyl flooring down since, you know, we catered a lot of times to children who tend to dump cupcakes and things like that on the floor. So we were able to do that. We were able to repair a whole bunch of the earthquake damage that happened to the lobby Even, you know, 2 years ago, we were able to completely redo all the sheetrock and repaint everything. We would have never, ever been able to do all of that stuff while we were running a full season. No way.
So the flip side, though, of all these wonderful renovations is, I mean, you're not making money with shows that you would be doing in a normal year. Renovations are never free. So how have you been able to do projects like that? Joe, with Triumvirate, have you guys been able to get any CARES support funding, or is this grants, or is this just out of your budget that you're knocking these items off the list?
The first project we started was the siding. You know, people have been whining at us for years about, when are you going to complete the siding? When are you going to complete the siding?
You're Nikiski. You need a little Tyvek to be authentic neighbors.
That's exactly right. There's a law, I think. There's actually, if we were a city out in Nikiski, we would have a city ordinance that said, you know, you must keep Tyvek on the side of the building for at least 5 years before you put the siding on. But one of the key people that I started with was Steve Sturman, who came by one day and said, you know, that Tyvek is just coming off the building. What if I get up there and, you know, put the Tyvek back on there? And we're like, that'd be great, Steve. You know, it was, you know, early fall, weather wasn't bad. So he and another, a parent of one of our kids, Matthew, they went up there and redid all that. And then Steve wrote a check out and said, hey, you know, what if I donate some money? Maybe we could start to, you know, get into getting this siding done. And then I tapped in with Mike Navarre, who was very generous with us and wrote a check out to help us finish that project. And that was matched by the Rasmussen Foundation, since he's on the Rasmussen board. So we utilized that money to finish that job. And then we already had in the works a $22,000 grant with the Rasmussen Foundation to fix the earthquake damage and replace the floor and replace our water system. So we already had that money lined up, which was helpful. And then in regards to just being able to keep up with the upkeep of the building and rent and all of those things, we've been very, very fortunate that all of this COVID-19 funding has been available. We've just been a grant machine over there. We've filled out every grant opportunity that came our way, we filled it out. It's interesting that in spite of this pandemic and not having done a show for a year, we actually are, as far as revenue goes, we're actually up this year compared to when we normally do a show because of so much pandemic funding.
Okay. Keynote performers, what about you guys? You, of course, have the funding juggernaut that is Curtain Call Consignment, but how have you guys been faring through coronavirus?
We've also been similar, and we really haven't had a financial struggle, which is incredibly fortunate. Yeah, our bread and butter is Curtain Call, and we would not be able to exist as we currently do as an organization with them. So every time that I get a chance, I'm like, thank you all to all of our Curtain Call employees and volunteers there, because they're amazing and they keep us, you know, they keep the lights on all the time. But we also did receive CARES Act funding from both the city of Kenai and the city of Soldotna. And then we received matching Rasmussen funds for our city of Kenai grant as well. And then because we didn't, so we had, similar to Triumvirate, we had, last year we had just finished Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which was the last, you know, big musical in February of 2020. So we were able to get that revenue and pay off those big expenses. And because now all of our shows are happening in our building rather than at the high school, which the big shows at the high school are amazing and super fun, but they also come with big expenses of rental fees from the licensing companies for the musicals themselves, and then also rental fees from the high school and the school district. So that means that we don't have as big of expenses as we normally do in a year.
Right. You know, a lot of people don't, the general public doesn't really understand the huge expenses that go into doing a gigantic musical like that. It surprises people when you tell them, oh, yeah, we spent $70,000 on that show. And they're just blown away by that. $70,000.
It really shushes up the $20 for a ticket, right. $25 for a ticket. Right. This is a highway robbery. Oh, let me talk about our budget here. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And you know, the other thing is a lot of people think, you know, you do Beauty and the Beast or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Well, you're just a community theater. So, you know, that doesn't cost anything. Well, it costs tens of thousands of dollars. The publishers in New York, they don't care that you're a community theater. They know you're bringing in $25 a ticket, and they want a part of that revenue. And, you know, I mean, when we did Beauty, I don't know what the royalty costs were for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but we probably spent $15,000 just for the rights to do Beauty and the Beast.
I know it was at least more than 10,000. I think the Disney ones are the most expensive. So I think Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was maybe a little bit cheaper because it was, you know, one of the older ones rather than the hot Disney commodity. But yeah, they're so expensive.
But you know, it's a typical budget thing, like Rebecca said, which is if your expenses aren't near as much, then your revenue doesn't have to be near as much. Rebecca, you should tell people more about Curtain Call. I think that maybe there's people that don't even know what that is.
Well, if you're a lady in the Kenai Sultana area, you probably know what that is. So, but yeah, Rebecca, talk about how that works.
Curtain Call Consignment Boutique, which has been going for at least 10 years. It happened while I was in college, so I can't remember exactly when it started. But basically, so it is our gently used consignment boutique, which is in the Seaman Building in Kenai, just along the Kenai Spur Highway. And it is open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the volunteers and employees there, they, you know, categorize everything and they see, you know, they only take the best stuff. So I'm always just super impressed with the quality of clothes and, you know, just things that you can find in there. They do only have women's stuff. I'm sorry, gentlemen. But it's a really, beautiful, you know, little find gem in Kenai. And then all of the proceeds go to the Kenai performers.
It's sad, so, by the way, Malston's went out of business and nobody in this town sells men's clothing.
You can go to Sweeney's.
You can go to Sweeney's, but you can't get a tux at Sweeney's. You can get a great coat. You can get footwear. You can get blue jeans. But unfortunately, Mike's not stocking any black tie event stuff.
No, I beg to differ. You could get a Canadian tuxedo, I believe, at Sweeney's.
That's true.
All their stuff is really affordable. I have a bag that I constantly use that I got from Curtain Call.
Well, that's good to hear that both organizations financially are surviving through this seemingly interminable moment in time.
I think as long as we can, go back to business as usual by, December, then I think everybody will probably pull out of this. I think if it goes on much longer, it's going to start getting very, very difficult. But I count nonprofits in this community as very, very lucky. There's a lot of businesses in this community that have been just hit hard. I mean, very, very hard. And if you can support our local businesses in any way, you need to get out there and do that and buy gift cards and, particularly restaurants. When we did some of our online stuff, we try to advertise for our sponsors that are in those situations without, that's been one of the nice things is we don't have to charge anybody anything. Yeah. We can just do advertising for them and kind of return the favor of all the support they've given us over the years. And so if you can get out there and support local business, you definitely need to be doing that right now.
So what's on the horizon for both of your organizations? Kenai Performers, I know you've certainly shuffled around your plans for this season. Are you looking ahead to next season with COVID in mind? How are you thinking about what your shows are going to be like for next year?
Yeah, we are. So we're still in the process of talking. So, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like the best laid plan. So we had in like December of 2019, January 2020, we were like, okay, we are going to have all our show proposals due in January 2020 for the 2020-21 season. We were gonna have like 8 shows, including, you know, the big musicals, small dramas, everything and stuff. And then COVID happened. And we are now down to 3 shows. So a lot of our directors that did have stuff that was going to be for this season, we're now talking to them and figuring out, okay, for next season, where can we fit you in? We're still figuring out if, you know, a big musical is going to be possible, like at the high school next year, or if it needs to be, you know, we have 2 years of like a kind of a smaller musical at the performing arts space on K Beach. And the, you know, the thing with it, it just takes a lot of time to plan. So like kind of now is when we need to start planning for it. And it's hard to plan for the unknown. So we're, you know, figuring out a bunch of contingencies.
Joe, what about Triumvirate?
You know, it's funny. I was just filling out the, every year the Alaska State Council of the Arts does an operations grant for performing arts organizations. And filling out that grant was really kind of a little disconcerting, because it said things like, you know, well, what's your strategic plan? Like, what's your season look like? You know, what it's like, we can't answer any of those questions. But like Rebecca said, you know, you go back to the directors that got, you know, shorted the opportunity to do a show. You know, we had people lined up that were planning on doing a Christmas show and all of those things. So we'll go back to them and hopefully we'll be able to reopen and be able to pick up kind of where we left off is what I'd like to do. And then in regards to what we're doing right now, you know, when we first did that mental health show, which I think is a real great service to the community and to kids, we were able to basically do like a pilot show. We did one episode of it with a grant from Spirit of Youth for $1,500, and we were able to put that show together. Recently, we got a grant, a $10,000 grant from the Alaska State Council of the Arts to continue on with that show. So we're going to do a complete series of that between the probably about the middle of March on into May, that we'll be able to continue that show. I was really surprised at how much positive feedback we got from it. And I shouldn't be, because I know a lot of people listen to radio. You know, thousands of people hear that stuff. I've had people stopping me in the grocery store, oh, thanks for doing that. Oh, it's such a needed program. And so I think with this added funding from the Alaska State Council of the Arts, we're going to be able to really kind of perfect this radio show. You know, even when we go back to doing live stage performances, you know, we may stay in the radio business. It's been it's been really, really a good thing.
Yeah, speaking from KDLL's standpoint, we airing Lame Ducks and the mental health show for teens, man, we got tons of responses from people saying, oh, that was so wonderful. We really enjoyed it. Thanks for doing that. That's such a great idea. So I think that is a nice synergy between theater and radio. And KDLL, we have a little troop of radio dramatists that have sprung to life during the pandemic, and they're having a blast. And anytime we get one of our Gherkin Radio Theater episodes on the air, we get a really good response to that. So
yeah, and if you haven't heard those, you need to listen. Then they're great. They're terrific.
Yeah, you got to kind of like camp, because they go whole hog in that direction. But it's been a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun.
And so for Triumvirate, you guys tend to hit the road a bit for your performances. You were mentioning you had plans to take a show to Seward, and then you've got an arm up in the Mat-Su. For right. The next year, you planning staying more close to home, or are you hoping to be able to get back and share theater elsewhere?
I'm really hoping that the Glenn Massey Theater up in Wasilla will be back open for business. I would love to do our Sound of Music up there, which was our plan, but it's so hard to tell what the university is going to do and how soon they're going to go back to renting that theater up there.
Yeah, anytime you're talking about...
Rebecca, have you heard anything about what the plans are with KCHS and what they're doing?
No, I have not. Yeah, and I'm not actually part of our official seasons committee, so I don't know the conversations that are having in that. But yeah, I don't know. I know right now there's definitely we wouldn't be able to do anything there. So
yeah, anytime.
I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed right now that maybe by May, when Little Women is going to go up, that we'd be at a place with, vaccinations and case counts in this area that we could do one of our musicals. We normally do, kind of a preview performance day with a lot of the schools. So then the kids, get to see some of the actors doing the songs and the gym and stuff. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to do that. That's yeah, where my fingers are crossed for that right now.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left, and I was hoping to get your guys' thoughts on what do you think is the value of having theater, especially local theater, now during a pandemic? I mean, isolation is such a big issue, and there's the audience end of things, but then there's also a big need for that among the performers and directors and you theatrical dramatic types too, to still come together and play. So I'm wondering, Paul, maybe since you're in the thick of things right now, if you could speak a little bit to, is this scratching an itch for you? Are you personally getting something out of being able to still be involved in theater?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So on that point, I think it's just the thrill of it. And it's so amazing because theater, perhaps more so than any other form of performing art or arts out there, has a tendency to draw people together, to come together and not just perform, but to create something. And the people who are brought together really probably more often than not have nothing else in common. I mean, the sheer diversity of people who come together to participate in a play, a musical, a radio performance, you name it. You know, there are members of this community who aren't really interfacing necessarily with each other in other areas or in other capacities. But the one time that they do have a chance to come together and to interface and to produce or create together is through the creative arts, and particularly through theater. So that's what's really exciting for me. There's a sense of commensurability. And if there's anything out there that we can really latch on to and need to latch on to, especially after this past year, it's that sense of commonplace being, what we have in common, and being able to share and express that. So now more so than ever, this community and the world, I think, could really benefit from the creative arts, and especially through theater.
Okay. Rebecca, what about you? What do you feel like you're getting out of theater at this moment in time, and what are you looking forward to providing to others?
I mean, on a personal note, the theater community here, basically, they are my friends. They are my, they're my support system and stuff too. So not being in a regular contact with them, is hard. But being able to be back into it and stuff, there's just a sense of relief and joy after going to rehearsal and just, working on creating something together. I think, for community, as Paul was saying, it is just that it's a way to bring people together. I think that the shows that in particular we'll see in these next few months from our organization, they're shows that not only are meant to, entertain people, but they're also meant to spur conversations and spur ideas. And it's not necessarily that everyone has to agree of, what's being said in a play, but it's the act of creating the conversation and act of coming together. And I agree with Paul in terms of the importance of community theater and local theater. No one in our group would, consider themselves a professional actor. There's some that are fully talented enough to do so, but everyone here has their own other life in the Kenai, Soldotna, Nikiski area. And, it's just this wealth of experience and, life experiences and stuff that come into informing you know, the art that we're creating. So that was very rambling, but yeah, just ultimately it's good when we can come together, and it's good when we can find, you know, ways of communication and ways of agreeing on empathy.
Well, I, for one, can't wait for a couple of years down the road when whatever art is being inspired right now is available. I can't wait for COVID-19, yeah. The musical.
Yes. Oh, it's coming, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joe, what about you? What do you think theater can do for folks, either performers or audiences, in this moment in time?
When we put together the Lame Ducks and Dark Horses show, the actors saw the script basically just a few minutes before we recorded it. But, you know, we tried to keep everybody kind of like apart, and, you know, only had so many people in the studio at a time. And after a while, we just kind of gave up on it because it's too hard to like keep. Yeah. They were so excited to see one another. It was like a bunch of kids on the first day of school. They just hung out for hours, just wanted to be there and visit because they missed it so much. And I would imagine that our audiences for the Kenai Performers shows and the Triumvirate shows probably feel much the same way, where they miss it. They miss getting together. They miss sitting out in the theater and talking and visiting before the show and talking about the show afterwards and all of those things. So one of the things that the pandemic has done for us in all different aspects of our lives is it's really made us appreciative of what we have. And the fact that this little community has two community theaters that basically, I mean, there's a show a month between the Kenai Performers and Triumvirate Theater. There's a show every month when we're both running live theater. And that is a tremendous blessing, I think, that we can kind of take for granted, and that the pandemic has highlighted for us that we really shouldn't take it for granted, that we should really appreciate it. I know that the little ones that are in our big fall show, where we'll have 50, 60 elementary school age kids in a show, they miss it desperately. Yeah. And just like they miss school. So I think in that way, I think the pandemic, hopefully what will happen is our community and really the whole country and the whole world will come out of this with a greater appreciation for the blessings that we have.
And if there are listeners out there who want to appreciate the shows that you guys have coming up, Joe, remind folks, end of March, Mission Impossible.
But it'll be Fishing Impossible.
Fishing Impossible. Yes. Okay.
That will be the end of March. That should be lots of fun. And one of the great things about doing it on the radio is I'm going to have all kinds of cameo appearances of local celebrities here, because I can do that. I can just go over to their office and say, "You're talking to this microphone, say these three lines." So it'll be great.
All right. So end of March for that one. And then Kenai Performers, remind us of your schedule for the rest of the year.
Yep. So tickets are available right now on KenaiPerformers.org for Murder in the Cathedral, which runs February 19th through 21st and 26th through 28th. And then we have Grounded March 19th, 20th, 26th, and 27th. And then we have Little Women, the musical, opening May 20th and running for 12 performances over 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh, 12 performances? You're a crazy woman, Rebecca.
You know, it's only a cast of 10, and I'm making them work real hard.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for your time today. This has been the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, talking about community theater. We've had Rebecca Gilman, producer for the show going up this weekend for the Kenai Performers, Murder in the Cathedral, and also a Kenai Performers board member. Rebecca, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And Paul Morin, who is directing that show. Paul, thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
And Joe Rizzo, executive director of Triumvirate Theater. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Always a pleasure, Jenny.
All right, everybody, let's go rustle us up some tickets.
All right.